If you missed the show,
check out Montreal's number one morning show on the go.
The Nikki, Sam, and Andy replay podcast.
Imagine you're out for a little stroll. You come upon a vehicle. There's a woman in the vehicle and her hands are bound and her neck as well. There's tape around her neck and her hands are bound to the steering wheel. What do you think? What do you do?
I'm calling the cops.
Calling the police right away?
Something terribly wrong has happened.
Or something terribly great is happening.
Good morning. It's Nikki, Sam, and Andy. And this actually happened to a tourist in the Canaries. She saw a woman in her car, hands and neck bound. Her hands were tied to the steering wheel. Tight packing tape around her neck as well. And for obvious reasons, they thought this woman had been kidnapped, right?
Yeah.
Anyway, shortly after viewing this woman and whatever's going on in the car, police show up. Turned out this woman was only trying to recreate a sexy scene from 50 Shades of Grey.
Oh, jeez.
That's what was going on in the vehicle. And she admits, the woman admits, it got a little out of hand. She said she nearly strangled herself in the process. She actually had to call 911 on herself. She couldn't speak. Her hands were turning blue because they were so tight from the ropes. And she was going to choke to death, basically, from the packing tape around her neck.
Wait, she was alone? She didn't have her Christian Grey with her?
That's what I'm wondering. I think he was going to show up. Maybe Christian Grey was late to the party or something. I don't understand.
It's an Uber. Got lost.
Yeah. his Uber got lost. Maybe she was filming something for some sort of website. I don't know.
If she saw the movie, she would know you have to have a safe word, right, to get yourself out of
there. Well, if there's no one else there, there's no one to tell the safe word to, number one. Number two, she couldn't speak because the tape was so tight around her neck.
Didn't think it through.
They had to take her to the hospital because she needed treatment for improper use of the bridle. So if you're going to do this kind of stuff,
The movies weren't that good. Come on, get over yourself.
The movies are pretty good, though.
They're pretty good movies.
Good enough to tie yourself in a car to try to emulate a scene.
No, I mean, different strokes for different folks, I guess.
She should start a fan club.
She kept saying pineapple, but nobody heard her.
All the grocery stores are closed.
She is okay, luckily, but she's obviously super mortified. She was really embarrassed by the whole thing. So we're going to do that. Be careful.
I'll stick to my popcorn and diet soda while I watch the movie.
Please do.
The Nikki, Sam, and Andy Replay Podcast.
So I guarantee you, if you ever got this guy as your Uber driver, you're giving him 5 stars. Like that. So a man named George Uray, I hope I'm saying that right, he's upped his Uber driving game by giving riders a ride menu where passengers can choose one of 5 types of drive that they want to have. I'm going to name them off for you. You can tell me which one you would take.
Okay.
You have the stand-up ride. Where he does comedy bits.
No.
Okay.
I don't know. I want to hear some guy's random comedy. No.
This is the most popular one. This is the silent ride, which is he just sits there and drives.
No, that's too awkward. Good with that one either.
The creepy ride where George makes creepy comments about you, like you smell good in the morning, your toenail polish looks good, that sort of stuff.
Okay, that would make for a good Instagram story,
right?
I guess.
Yeah, I think so too. There is the therapy ride where he just listens to your problems.
That's a I want.
That's the one you want.
Hey, haven't heard the whole menu yet.
This is the one I think Sam would want. This is the rude ride where he's just a total D to you. But you ask for it, so it's kind of funny.
Okay.
I'll take the silent ride. Thank you very much.
Really?
I can do without the insults.
I can't stand when I get in a cab or an Uber and nobody's speaking.
It makes me so
uncomfortable.
Come on. That's what you're there for. Just take me to where I need to go.
No, we're like both humans, and it would be nice if we acknowledge that we're both alive and sitting next to each other. That's just me.
Okay.
I don't know.
Hi. Hello. Thank you very much.
I would take the stand-up ride. I think it would be funny just to watch the guy try to be funny.
That would be even more awkward. That's like being serenaded when you're like, I don't know where to look. I don't know what to do. I don't know when to laugh.
I don't think I'd ever get out of the car. I'd want him to keep driving around. I'd probably change my options. I got into a cab one time, and the driver started asking me geography questions. And I thought it was the most random thing. And then he told me, if you get this right, I'll take $5 off your fare. And
now we're talking.
Yeah, but they were the hardest geography questions ever. Like, it was like, how many feet high is Mount Everest? Well, you got to get it. How am I going
to
know that?
You're not allowed to Google.
He was looking for exact number?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
You're not allowed to Google anything?
I think I had a time limit. I can't remember.
So you didn't get any questions right that didn't work?
No, I didn't have anything knocked off my
fare
at
all. No wonder
he
does that. I was in an Uber, and I think it was better than your geography Uber. He had karaoke in there. He had a microphone. You could hook up your phone and the microphone and sing the entire time. It was so fun. It was like a summer afternoon where we'd go into the old port to have some drinks.
I don't know if I would like that.
Are you sure it wasn't part of a TV show where their cameras rolling?
Yeah,
I hope not, because I definitely sang. But it's funny because Ubers now are like having to step up their game to compete with one another. You got, you get some of them have candy. Yeah. As soon as you get in, they're like, "Hello, I have 4 phone chargers. What can I give you?" Like they really are stepping
up the
game.
Going down the block. I'm
well, when Uber first started, that was it. They had candy. They had bottles of water for their passengers.
Yeah.
But then there was, you know, more and more drivers started driving for Uber, and then Lyft came about, and all of a sudden, you know, it wasn't a new thing anymore. People knew what Uber was and how good it was, so they didn't really have to win over any customers. Now that there's so many drivers, you kind of have to win back those customers to get that good tip.
There's still some really great gems out there. Shout out to Joseph. He had gluten-free candy last week in his Uber. It was
right
impressive.
Right on, Joseph.
We're all these bells and whistles. I'm just happy when I go into a cab and it doesn't smell, to be honest.
I know. That's a big one. That's a big one. Do you give bad ratings in Uber when it is bad?
Absolutely.
Yeah, you do?
Let the people know.
I feel bad. I just complain to friends and don't give them and give them 5-star stuff.
That's productive.
Montreal's most listened to morning show on the go.
The Nikki, Sam, and Andy Replay Podcast.
What's the most important life lesson you've learned so far? We're getting all your texts right now. They're amazing. At 92925. Good morning. It's Nikki, Sam, and Andy. And we're talking about this because Taylor Swift is turning 30 this year. Mm-hmm. Her birthday's not till December, but apparently we're going to start celebrating now. So she decided to write a feature for Elle Magazine, and it was basically 30 things that she learned before turning 30. I thought that was kind of interesting.
Cool.
So we'll go through some of them, and you can decide if you think Taylor Swift has it figured out at this point or not, at the age of 29, the ripe age. The first thing she said was, being sweet to everyone all the time can get you in a lot of trouble. I was just saying that earlier about her, right?
Of course.
I was
like, too nice
Taylor,
sometimes.
Be honest. Like, be who you are when you're annoyed with Kim Kardashian. Just to say it. Trying and failing, trying again and failing again is normal. She said, obviously, it's a little bit different for her because everything's like blown out of proportion every time she makes a little misstep, right?
Yeah, even when she does fail, she's still probably making millions of dollars, though. That's the thing, too.
True, but it doesn't hurt any less, like those fumbles, you know?
Ideally, as you get older, you want to fail less, though. I mean, you don't want to keep failing up until you're in your old age.
I think you have to. You don't grow unless you're
failing. As long as you try more than you fail.
All right. She said, I love this one so much. She said, I've learned that society is constantly sending very loud messages to women that exhibiting this physical signs of aging is the worst thing that can happen to us. And she said, these messages tell women that we aren't allowed to age and it's an impossible standard to meet. That is an amazing thing to have realized before the age of 30, I've got to say, because that's a struggle.
That's coming from a 29-year-old. That's pretty crazy.
Exactly. She said, I learned not to let outside opinions establish the value I place on my own life choices.
Yep, that's a good
very
one.
Very good.
Except for Kanye West's opinion. That seems to still bother her.
She learned how to make some easy cocktails. Very important.
Yes.
At the age of 29.
Handy.
This was a good one, too. This one kind of spoke to me, and I'm like, maybe it's something I need to work on for that reason. She said, apologizing when you have hurt someone who really matters to you takes nothing away from you. That was a really important lesson she said she's learned.
Wonder who she's talking about.
Maybe Katie one Sherry. Of the exes.
Katy Perry.
She had many exes. Speaking of the exes, she said, before you jump in head first, maybe, I don't know, get to know someone. Very good lesson, Taylor. I'm glad you've learned that at this
She's
point.
She's still working on that.
Two more that were my favorite from the list. Realizing childhood scars and working on rectifying them is very important. Yep. I agree. And the last one was learning the difference between lifelong friendships and situationships. Because, you know, when you're younger, you definitely think everybody's going to be there forever. But in hindsight, you're like, I should have spent more time watering the ones that were the good ones, right?
Yep.
Okay, so what has been your greatest life lesson so far, would you say, Andy?
You know, I would say it was two. Either never tell my wife to relax and calm down. That's
has that ever worked in the history of life?
I learned very quickly that it does not. And two, getting back with an ex is always a bad idea.
Okay.
Getting back together with an ex never works out well. You think it's going to be great. It never is. And then you break up 4 more times.
Yeah, I think it seldom works out well. I would agree. There are some once in a while, you know, there's a good one.
Once in a blue moon.
You're married now. You don't have to worry about it.
It's not going to happen again.
For the greatest life lesson, mine was actually kind of similar to the first one that Taylor Swift spoke about, which was just that you cannot please everyone. That was the toughest thing for me to learn. You cannot be everything to everyone, and you'll never make everyone happy.
Mm.
So stop trying, basically, and stop looking for that validation everywhere and just be true to yourself.
Yep. Interesting.
Sam?
I learned that ketchup and Kraft Dinner do not mix at a very
they
early
do.
Age.
Yes, they do.
I'm kidding.
They go well together.
I learned that splurging on the things that really matter to you, and I'm learning starting to splurge more and more as I get older. Oh! I know it's tough to believe, but, you know, on the things that really matter, just
like
I'll go for the premium scotch instead of like the regular run of the mill. Just the things
that really matter.
It's true. It's the little things in life that, you know, should bring you pleasure, and you shouldn't skimp on those things.
But like a new t-shirt, he won't buy it.
No, never. I'm wearing a perfectly good t-shirt right now. No need to buy it.
Little stains on your shirt. I can count from here. 1, 2, 3, 4. There's like 7 stains on your shirt.
My stains, like my scars in life, I wear proudly.
Oh my God.
Do you use that to paint with?
I didn't think I could afford the fancy scotch, man.
Okay, what has been your greatest life lesson so far? You can text us at 92925.
Yeah, we got a lot of good texts. Here's one. When making decisions, take a quiet moment to listen to your gut and then follow it. I can pinpoint a few times I didn't and wish I had. That's so true, right?
Mm-hmm.
You never listen to yourself, even though you know deep down you feel one way, you listen to other people more. You know?
It's hard to block out the noise sometimes. Yeah. Like, I've been trying to make decisions and, like, my friends are like, you know, just follow your gut. And I'm like, I don't know what it's saying. So it takes a long time.
I don't know what my gut is saying, so you guys tell me what to do.
Sometimes it seems like the simplest thing, but it can take some time to sort of, like, hone that skill, I guess.
Yeah. Half the time my gut's just saying eat. I don't know. This text says, don't trust your coworkers and don't date at your workplace. That's a very
good lesson.
Don't date at the workplace. Gail said, my life lesson, and I'm a 57-year-old female, never judge yourself, because if you do, you're not living your life, but you're living for other people. Do not judge. That's another good one. Sam, that's good for you.
Learn.
I'm working on it.
Yeah, it's a lifelong lesson for Sam. Learning not to take things personally, how people treat you is a reflection of them, not a reflection of you.
Okay.
The more you understand people, the more you understand how to not take things personally.
Taking things personally, that is a huge one. There's an amazing book, and I would recommend it to anyone. It's called The Four Agreements. And the four agreements are: be impeccable with your word, do not make assumptions, always do your best, and don't take anything personally. And they're difficult to implement, but they say that if you can master those four things, like, you are living, basically. You have a lot less fear. There's not anything to be fearful of.
It's so hard to not take things personally, especially when it's a personal thing to you, but it's not that personal to somebody else. And you have to kind of see it from their standpoint a little bit as well.
Okay, so apparently the age when we're the happiest is 70 years old.
What?
I know, and it makes you think, like, really?
I'll be lucky if I make it.
I gotta
that
wait
age.
Till I'm 70 to be happier. But when I found out why, I was like, okay, maybe this is something that we can start working on now. And there's a reason for it. This is so interesting. It's actually something that happens to us as children, and then we grow out of, and then we grow back into it with our older age. And it's because older people stop noticing when people around them are angry. And that's what happens with children as well. They don't know. They're not picking up on that vibe of negativity around them. And they actually get better at picking up on when someone is happy. So the world is just a more pleasant place in their experience as they age. Isn't that cool?
Interesting.
Yeah.
It's all how you see it.
Exactly.
I think when you get to that age, you just stop caring a lot about other things. You know, the small stuff too, right?
That also. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
I mean,
a lot
you're 70 years old. You're going to do what you want to do.
Absolutely. But I'm going to work on, like, those vibes and make sure I'm not, like, when it's somebody's having a bad day, I'm like, that is not mine. I know. I only see the happiness.
Don't take it personally.
Don't take it personally. Exactly. So there you go. If you want to work on being happy before you're 70, maybe that's something to think about.
Everything you missed from Montreal's favorite morning show.
The Nikki, Sam, and Andy Replay Podcast.
So you're just starting to date someone new. They seem like a great guy. Then you find out they still suck their thumb. Good morning.
No.
It's Nikki, Sam, and Andy. Yes. So would you ever date a guy, Nikki, that still sucked their thumb?
I didn't think you were going to ask me that question. I don't think an adult sucking their thumb, if it's not like cutting into their life, is the end of the world.
I don't think so either. And I think there's probably actually a lot of adults out there that still do suck their thumb. I worked with a girl. She was a 30, 31, 32. She still sucked her thumb. She was totally high functioning.
Like at work?
Yeah. Yeah. But she just had this hang up where she hung on to this thing from her childhood. She never let it go.
I know somebody else that I'm close to in my life. I won't say who it is because she'll kill me. But she sucks her ring finger and her middle finger.
Oh,
like,
Jesus.
Together.
She has the top of the thumb.
No, she doesn't. It's just those two fingers. She's done it from the time she's a kid. And from the time she was a kid, her family was like, okay, you need to get rid of that habit.
Yeah.
It was just always like kind of like, what's the big deal, I guess? Everybody has like their weird sort of like nervous habits, I guess.
Well, I guess it's just a comfort thing, right? You did it when you were a kid and you just developed into a preteen, then a teenager, and you just did it. Everybody's got their things that they do to make themselves comfortable. Most of us move on from sucking our thumbs, but some of us don't, I guess.
I get that. Call me crazy, but if I'm dating a girl, a grown woman who's sucking her thumb in public or not, I have questions.
Come on.
I really do. I question everything.
In
public
might be one thing, yeah, but like if somebody's just like going to bed,
I can't get over it. I wouldn't be able to get over it. Like, what are you doing? Get your thumb out of your mouth. No, it's comforting. Of all the things to comfort you, get your thumb out of your mouth. Okay. Grow up.
Settle down.
Sorry, it's just...
Settle, calm.
I have questions.
Calm. I don't know. If I was actually dating someone, and of course in public, like at the dinner table, that you just can't. That would not be...
Babe, not now.
It's not okay, but I'm trying to picture him like laying down, we're going to bed, and he's there sucking his thumb and how I might feel about it. I can't say it would be a deal breaker. Like if Channing Tatum sucks his thumb, are you kidding me?
Okay, get over Channing Tatum.
I don't care.
Get me with him.
You don't know that.
We just got a text. I have a blanket that I still suck on.
Oh.
You know what? I bet you'd be surprised how many adults out there are still sucking their thumb.
Somebody said, Nikki, stop sucking your thumb. That story I told was not about me.
Projecting.
Number one, my nails wouldn't allow it. And number two, I am such a germaphobe.
That's
I can't
true.
Put my hands near my mouth. Jana just texted, imagine hearing smack, smack, smack while your partner sucks his thumb as you go to sleep.
Oh, I couldn't do
no,
that.
No, thank you. This is really funny. I was a thumb sucker as an adult. And when I met my girlfriend, I was afraid to get weird looks from her. But turns out she was a thumb sucker too. And we're very mature, fully functional adults.
Look at this. There's another text. My wife still sucks her thumb. I don't mind at all. It puts her in a happy place.
Okay. Somebody said, oh, great. Now I have no hope for my 9-year-old to stop. She doesn't have to stop yet. There are ways. I know there's like nail polish that tastes really gross. I remember some friends doing that when I was younger. Mm-hmm. And their parents would like paint their nails with it so that if they put their hands in their mouth, it tasted disgusting.
Oh, we used to do something similar with my dog. When she would chew things that she wasn't supposed to chew, we'd put cayenne pepper on those things. And they don't like the taste of cayenne pepper. Same thing.
That's genius.
Yeah, it works.
Oh my God. I want to start doing that with like things I don't want Sam to touch.
Good luck. I love spicy food.
The Nikki, Sam, and Andy Replay Podcast.
Online at thebeat925.ca.
Or subscribe on iTunes and Google Play.
And live weekday mornings starting at 5:30.
Montreal's perfect mix. The Beat 925.